760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
I meant to change it out today.
Dave, the last day that you and I are doing this together. I was totally expecting that.
If you were listening Tuesday morning, I had the record scratched and it didn't say Josh, it said Dave. And
it's
then,
hilarious. It's hilarious.
We'll do that next time you and I do the show together.
I think that sounds marvelous.
This is the last time this week. Josh is back tomorrow.
He'll be back in town tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Let's kick this off the holy way. You got a prayer for us?
I sure do. Let's start in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you who are the boundless source of love and mercy for all your children, we come before you as a community seeking deeper trust in your unending love for us. In the face of trials, uncertainties, and fears that touch our lives, help us to rest securely in the assurance of your faithful embrace. As St. Paul proclaims in his letter to the Romans, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's from Romans 8:38-39. Lord Jesus, through your passion, death, and resurrection, you have proven this love beyond all doubt for every one of us. Strengthen our faith so that no hardship, no doubt, nor anything created thing may shake our collective confidence in you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, who intercedes with us and sighs too deep for words, that we may live as conquerors through your love, supporting one another in charity. We ask this in your most holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Man, just reading that scripture verse, you know, from Romans, I'm like, nothing can take the love of Christ away from us. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Nothing.
Right. And it gets back to our gospel on Tuesday.
Yes.
We were talking about how, you know, the one sheep, he's going to come after you.
Absolutely.
You know, he cares.
Each one of us. And I mean, many times I've heard people say, oh, my situations, they're small compared to other people's big problems. No.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what we're going through, our trials, anything, he cares about us individually. Beautifully, he cares about each one of us. We are his. So there you go.
Absolutely. So yeah, I got a big day today.
What's going on?
Legislation made simple.
Oh.
Patty and Jane are coming in today. We're going to kind of plan out because the new season starts in January. That's when the new legislative session starts in Georgia. Which I didn't know this until this show started, but the legislative session is only in session January, February, and March, 3 months out of the year.
That is wild.
I never knew that until this. But yeah, so that's the show where Jane has all these connections, all these people, senators and representatives and everything, and so she gets all the information, especially the ones that we as Catholics care about.
Yes, that pertain to us,
exactly.
Right, and our faith.
So that it, you know... Because a lot of times you see, you know, oh, the governor signing this into law. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. Where did that come from? You
Bingo.
Don't know. And so she's got her finger on the pulse of the whole thing.
Yes.
So they're coming in today. We're going to talk about that. We're shooting another episode, a couple episodes of Honest to God this evening here at the Quest Studios in Roswell.
Yeah.
In fact,
for young adults.
Absolutely. If there are any young adults who want to just kind of come and check it out, you can do that. Just stop by our studios here, maybe 5:30-ish. I think they start recording around 6.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to be on the show, but, you know, you can come see what it's all about.
See what's going on, yeah.
Get a slice of pizza.
Ooh, yummy.
Absolutely.
Whenever there's food, right, people run to it.
Yeah, so I've got a long day. I've been here already this morning preparing for the show today.
Yes.
And then, so I'm going to be here right up until Honest to God is shooting their next few episodes. And anyway, so that's the big deal here.
No, that's exciting. Mm-hmm. And you work so hard, Dave. You are such an amazing
asset. I give that appearance anyway.
Dave, you are. I come in here, the weather's taken care of for me. I am not used to this treatment. I am like, wow. So I'm grateful for you, Dave.
Absolutely. Grateful for you, too. We've got a great show today.
Just ahead on The Morning Quest,
Deacon Charlie Kernaghan from Our Lady of La Salette in Canton will be talking about his Advent Day of Reflection taking place this Saturday, December the 13th. It's called All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth, so I can't wait to learn more about that. Chuck Persner is going to help us get acquainted with St. Damasus Want the First. Father Revac is going to be diving into today's gospel. And coming up next, Father Siloway, pastor at All Saints in Dunwoody, continues his conversation on living liturgically. And today he is going to be talking about Gaudete Sunday.
The Morning Quest continues to find joy in the journey. On AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio.
All the way from Dunwoody, All Saints Catholic Church, we've got Father Michael Siloway with us. How are you doing this morning, Father?
Good morning. I'm doing very well, thanks. How are y'all?
Good. Yeah, absolutely.
And awesome. I got to say, Allison, I was impressed with your pronunciation there. You nailed that Latin.
Well, praise the Lord. And you know what? If it weren't for you, Father, I probably would have not nailed it. So we are grateful for all you do for us here.
Happy to help.
Awesome. So, Father, we are at the halfway point of Advent season, and this Sunday is called Gaudete Sunday. So what is that?
Yes. So I'm going to be a little liturgically and grammatically nerdy here. So
love it.
Please bear with me. I really hope it pays off in the end. But on the liturgical end, the liturgical nerding out is that the Mass is actually structured not to necessarily have an entrance hymn. That's become so completely common throughout most of Western Christianity and the Roman Rite of the Catholic Church. But actually, the liturgy is supposed to begin with an entrance antiphon.
Oh.
And if you have a daily Roman Missal, or even if you look through, our Sunday Visitor or the Magnificat, you'll see on all the Masses, there's always given an entrance antiphon. It's the same thing that the priest has on the book on the altar, the Missal, that the way that the Mass is supposed to begin is with an antiphon. So what these antiphons are, these little short scriptural quotes that kind of set the tone for the particular liturgical day that you're celebrating. So for this Sunday, this third Sunday of Advent, the entrance antiphon for Mass comes from Philippians 4:4, which says, St. Paul is urging the Philippians, he says to them, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say to you, rejoice, for the Lord is near." Mm. And in Latin, which the official language of the church, that rejoice is gaudete.
Oh.
Now, So to nerd out a little grammatically here, that gaudete is that translation of that first word, rejoice. It's a second person plural imperative. So it's not just a generic kind of rejoice. It's a command. Just
wow.
Like you, if you saw somebody who was about to run out into the street, you'd yell, "Stop!"
Yeah.
It's an instruction. It's a do this thing. So like the most accurate Southern translation I could come up with for gaudete is rejoice, y'all.
I love it.
So it's
I
a
love
command
it.
From St. Paul that we should be rejoicing.
Beautiful.
Is y'all, is that a Latin word?
yes, Southern Latin.
Southern Latin. Okay.
Absolutely. So now, Father, this is, I think there's 2 days the whole year when the rose-colored vestments are worn by the priest and the deacon. A lot of people think it's pink, but it's actually rose-colored.
It's ultimately semantics. Some will call it salmon.
Oh.
Right.
But
right,
it's rose.
Too.
It's rose. The church calls it rose.
Absolutely. So what's the symbolism in that? That there's only 2 times a year.
Yeah. So this Sunday and its Lent counterpart that you're referring to is called Laetare Sunday. And for the same very reason, it's called Laetare Sunday because the entrance antiphon of that Mass is Laetare Jerusalem, rejoice Jerusalem. So that's another word that means rejoice. But anyway, we wear the rose on those days, the third Sunday of Advent and the fourth Sunday of Lent, because historically, the color rose was associated with festivity, with joy, with celebration. It's so markedly different from any of the other liturgical colors, the violet, the green, the white.
Mm-hmm.
So it just stands out as a very celebration color. But then this is a little Father Michaelology, if you will. There's a spirituality that I find in it that's, I don't think has ever been written anywhere, but it was told to me somewhere, and if it ain't true, it ought to be. But that the liturgical color of Advent is violet, which represents penance and conversion, preparation. The liturgical color of Christmas that we're about to celebrate is white, representing glory and radiance. So on this Sunday, Gaudete Sunday, and its counterpart Laetare Sunday in Lent, the white glory of anticipation of the birth of our Savior begins to overwhelm the violet of penance and preparation.
Mm.
So That's kind of what I see is taking place here. Now, I am partially colorblind, I have to admit. So people will probably say, you know, if you mix purple and white, you're going to end up with different shades of purple, right, and eventually like reducing it down to lavender.
Yeah.
But as Fulton Sheen, the venerable bishop, so eloquently pondered as he was meditating on the birth of Christ, he says this, that Jesus Christ was the only person in the history of the world who was born to die. Mm. And so the wood of the cross that he came to mount for our sins is foreshadowed in the wood of the manger. So if you add just a drop of that crimson red of our Lord's precious blood to that lavender mixture, what do you get? You get rose.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
And that becomes the cause for our rejoicing. Why that antiphon is chosen for the beginning of this. It's because the birth of Christ is so close, because what his birth means, that salvation is happening and that salvation is going to come at the price of his blood. It all comes together. Christ has come to save us.
Wow, that is beautifully said, Father. Oh,
absolutely.
My gosh. So how can we enter into Gaudete Sunday from the pews and in our homes, Father?
Yeah, well, just a fun thing. I see some people doing this, and it's becoming more and more of a tradition, which is really cool, of coming to Mass wearing the color of the day in some way or another. Like, so maybe wear something rose-colored to Mass on purpose.
Well, I have a pink shirt, so that's appropriate, wouldn't it be?
It'd be very appropriate.
Okay,
and the priest and the deacon and anybody who's liturgically tuned in and who's living liturgically, they're going to pick up on it.
Ooh.
And it's really cool. But then something for everybody. You know, don't go out and buy something rose-colored if you don't have something rose-colored. That's not the point. But most importantly, I would just invite everybody to come to Mass this weekend choosing to rejoice. Because remember, grammatically nerding out, it's a command that St. Paul gave to the Philippians. Rejoice because the Lord is near. That we have the ability to act against our own circumstances. And each of us has probably a million legitimate reasons to be frustrated, to be tired, maybe even sad and angry.
Yeah.
Even as the beauty and the joy of Christmas are so close, it can be a heavy season for so many.
Mm-hmm.
But we can choose to rejoice in the Lord. So think about what his birth meant. Think of his sneaking into enemy territory to begin the rescue mission of salvation of humanity. Think about who you are as a child of God and holding on to these graces, these blessings. You know, start to acknowledge there are ways, Lord, that you are at work in my life. And so therefore, I have a reason to rejoice because you are who you say you are. You are gracing me. You are at work. You're doing things. And so praise becomes, this rejoicing in praise becomes a powerful weapon against spiritual darkness. And
Amen.
So that's what I think everybody can do this weekend as they come to Gaudete Sunday Mass.
That's awesome.
You've
given us so much to think about here. And the one takeaway, go ahead, Father.
I was just going to say, keep your socks on tight, because next week we're going to talk about the O antiphons, one of my favorite things to talk about.
Ooh.
It's going to knock you out your desk chair, I'm telling you.
Can't wait,
awesome,
Father.
Yeah. And the one takeaway I'm getting, since we're in Georgia,
yes,
rejoice, y'all.
Love it,
rejoice,
Dave.
Y'all.
Love it, Dave. Thanks so much, Father Soloy.
All right, God bless you all. Have a great day.
Uh-huh.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
Deacon Charlie Kernaghan from Our Lady of La Salette in Canton will be talking about his Advent reflection, All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth. That's going to be this Saturday at their parish. Chuck Persner is going to help us get acquainted with St. Damasus I. And coming up next, Father Rivak, pastor at Mary Magdalene, is going to be diving into the gospel.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. Coming up at 10 this morning on AM 1160 The Quest. Join us for more to life.
But now let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:17, and this Saturday, December 13th, Christmas at the Monastery. For the first time, you can experience the breathtaking concert from home. It's going to be pay-per-view, and that's going to be at the amazing monastery. The Georgia Boy Choir is going to be there at the monastery. I'm doing some beautiful music. So again, it's sold out in the actual monastery, but you can watch it. Only $5 per household. You can stream it directly through georgiaboychoir.org.
And Allison, I know where you can get more information about this.
Where can you get more information, Dave?
You go to our events calendar.
Yes. And how do you get there?
Go to thequestatlanta.com and click on events.
Wonderful. So if you have any events coming to your parish, let us know and put them on that calendar.
Finding joy in the journey. This is The Morning Quest.
Father Rivak, pastor at St. Mary Magdalene Noonan, is back diving into today's gospel. Good morning, Father.
Morning, Josh and Allison. How are y'all?
Great. How are you, Father?
Doing well, thank you. So today we are in Matthew, and it's going to be Jesus said to the crowds, "Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there is none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent are taking it by force. All the prophets and the law prophesied up to the time of John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah, the one who is to come. Whoever has ears ought to hear." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Jesus likes John a lot.
Yeah.
So this line here that the least in the kingdom of heaven are greater than he, you know, certainly Jesus isn't saying that John the Baptist isn't going to be in the kingdom of heaven. Certainly not going to be the least in the kingdom of heaven. I think what he's saying here is that no matter how great a person is in this life, you know, no matter how perfect, no matter, and I don't mean like great man, great, like, you know, the great men of the world, the supermen, but like truly like good holy men outside of Christianity. John the Baptist was a Jew, of course, that no matter how good a person you are, unless you're a Christian, it doesn't matter. That your greatness, your philanthropy in this world is not something that transfers to heaven, save through the waters of baptism. And so, obviously, John the Baptist is a precursor to Christ. Christ goes down into hell on the Holy Saturday to harrow hell and to bring forth from hell all of those righteous people outside of the ordinary means of salvation, which are the sacraments of the church. But within the ordinary operation of things, to say that a person in the world is the greatest person in the world, but this child here who's just been baptized, this infant, has by virtue of their Christian dignity become greater than them.
Mm. Yeah, and it's a reminder that true greatness comes from grace,
yes,
not achievement.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, think about what you'll see these whatever articles, top 40 under 40 or 30 under 30. There is this measure of greatness societally that typically is quantitative with a number. How much money do you make? What empire did you build? And Jesus is saying, no, it's not about the empire you build. It's about the one that you let me build through you, which, again,
absolutely,
I have reign on.
That's right. And he moves into, after he says that, he moves into, you know, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent are taking it by force. And I think he's really talking about the sinister sort of, cynical, corporate, commercial, attitude, the terrestrial worldly economy that basically is saying what the opposite of what you just said, Josh, is that no, it's about what you do, not about what Christ makes you become or what Christ makes of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the violence, because all of this preoccupation, it does violence to the soul, because it tells us that there might be another way to be happy. There might be another way, mm-hmm, to be a contributor. There might be another way to be a great man other than through Christ. And there simply is not.
Mm-mm.
That's the violence of a lie.
Mm. And I think about, too, the fact that, you know, so much of, you know, worldly standing is based on what we do, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think that's the difference between somebody who is perhaps grounded in a, you know, a secular stance of I work and it's, you know, my self-will that propelled me to achieve X, Y, or Z versus, you know, a strong Catholic, strong Christian is a cooperation with God's grace. It actually is it began with grace and I said yes to God and let him work through me.
Right. Well, you know, Jesus says, where your treasure is, there also is your heart will be, and lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, says the, mm-hmm, Lord. Any sort of good work that we do in this world that is not done for the sake of Christ and for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, it ends at death. Like that's, you know, when we say, oh, you can't take anything with you when you go, that's not entirely true. You can't take what you've done for the sake of this world with you when you go, but you the things that you've done for the sake of heaven are already waiting for you at your arrival in heaven. You know, to anticipate your question here, Allison.
Yes.
I think the real takeaway, the thing that I really want people to think about here, is that there is something essential, something different, something unique, and something necessary in being a Christian, and that it's not okay not to be a Christian. Because if there's nobody in the world that can be better than John the Baptist, and John the Baptist on his own is not good enough to be in heaven on by his own merits, but it's merely those who Christ chooses in the waters of baptism, then we need to thank God every day for our own baptism, and we need to work to bring as many as we can to the waters of baptism, so that the good works that those wonderful, well-meaning people might do in this life can be attributed to them in heaven.
So, Father, for those out there that might not be Catholic or might not even be baptized, what would you say to them to encourage them to come to those waters?
I would say call up your local parish. Okay, so first of all, I mean, there is no substitute for baptism. There's no substitute for Christ's regenerative work by which we receive the graces he won for us on the cross. There is no other starting point than that. And the way that you kind of move towards that starting point to get into those blocks, so to speak, is to just call up your local parish and say, you know what, hey, I might not be interested in being Christian or Catholic, but I am curious to learn more about the unique integrity of this religion that promises me eternal life through Christ and his church.
Well said.
Very well said.
Going out on a high note as always. Thank you so much, Father.
Absolutely,
Michael,
guys.
Reback, pastor at St. Mary Magdalene in Noonan, Georgia.
Great talking with y'all. See you later.
At 8:25, I'm Dave Savage, in for Josh Harris, who we just heard there, but...
We did.
I'm going to let you know a little secret. That was pre-recorded before Josh left, but he'll be back tomorrow.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for sharing.
Hey, pull up a chair. I'm going to tell a little story right here.
Okay, I'm here. I'm ready.
From Church Pop. In a small community in Portugal, a farmer and father of seven was baptized. Doesn't seem like such a big deal, but... He received his first Holy Communion and was confirmed and baptized all at the age of 100.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that?
Wow.
Jose Francisco is his name. He'd always wanted to be baptized, but spent his whole life working hard in the fields.
Yeah.
So during a virtual reality program for seniors, he finally shared his hidden wish, believing his time really had already passed. And it was too late for him to be baptized.
Never too late.
Yeah. So the local priest... went to the nursing home where Jose lives and personally prepared him. And last month, he celebrated all three sacraments in one day.
Wow. Talking about grace.
Yes. And even more touching, the baptismal water was dried with the same towel his wife once made for their children.
Oh, my gosh.
How about that? Jose said it was beautiful. His new dream. Now he wants to turn 101.
Oh, praise God.
How about that, though? I mean, you got to realize it's never too late.
Well, it's not. And you were saying, you know, it's no big deal. I mean, when you are baptized, you become you are like one of Christ. You are like a child of God immediately. So praise the Lord that he was able to make it to 100 and then receive this amazing gift.
Absolutely.
Of being part of the family. Oh, praise God.
Great story. I love that.
I do, too.
Later on the Morning Quest.
Deacon Charlie Kerrigan from Our Lady of La Salette in Canton will be talking about the Advent Day of Reflection at his parish. All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth. Again, that's this Saturday, December 13th. And coming up next, Chuck Purser is going to help us get acquainted with St. Damasus the First.
This is the Morning Quest.
I just want to take a minute here. It's 8:30 right now, and... just want to mention this new show that we have. It started over the summer. It's called Crossed Wires. And I don't know if you've listened to it or not, but every person I've heard that listens has heard it. They love it.
Oh, yes. It's very unique.
Yeah, Father
like
Daniel.
Like nothing else.
Father Daniel Brandenburg, LC, and then Chris McDonald. So Chris McDonald's a lay person, and then we got the priest.
Yes.
And so Chris finds these unusual news stories And he's kind of a news junkie, self-proclaimed news junkie. And then he like finds these stories, and then like Father Daniel has not heard any of these until we're recording the show.
It's amazing.
And but he comes up with these intelligent, well thought out responses to these news stories, and kind of, you know, how does the church feel about this, or morally what's wrong with this, or what, I don't know. It's pretty cool.
Well, I think it's something that we all can benefit from living in this world. So yes, awesome, awesome show.
Absolutely. So it's on Saturdays at 1 and then again Sunday at 2, or you can go on demand, go to thequestatlanta.com and you can get it there on demand.
Sounds good.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest. Finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
It's 8:32.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison.
Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Chuck.
All right, we've got a great one today. I found myself saying that a lot during the Advent season. Many of my favorites are during this season. Mm-hmm. And today, I think our listeners might be surprised at just how much this gentleman actually contributed to our faith, even to this day. Today is the optional memorial of St. Damasus the First, and he was our 37th Pope. St. Pope Damasus I, and he's recognized today as an optional memorial, as I said, so those of you on your way to Mass, don't be surprised if the celebrant is adorned in white, as opposed to the violent and purple vestments of Advent. But, you know, as I said, this was a man who made decisions that really shaped the future of Western Catholicism and the Universal Church, all the while remaining astoundingly resolute in his battle against the 4th century Arian heresy, which seems to come up a lot in these segments, doesn't
it?
And
that, of course, sought to deny Jesus' divinity during his pontificate. Latin would ultimately replace Greek as the official liturgical language of the Roman Church under his papacy. He did authorize St. Jerome to revise the Latin translation of the Bible into what became the widely used Vulgate edition. As Pope, he also authorized the decrees of the Second Ecumenical Council, which would expand the Nicene Creed's profession of faith in the Holy Spirit, and added portions of the Church, the baptism, and the resurrection of the dead. So here we see him building a little bit upon that which another saint we talked about not long ago, that St. Nicholas.
Yes.
He was one of the 300 bishops at Nicaea who put together this creed, and here we see Damasus adding on to it in later years.
Wow.
But, yeah, he was the son of a Roman priest, possibly of Spanish extraction. He started as a deacon in his father's church, served as a priest in what later became the Basilica of San Lorenzo in Rome. He served Pope Liberius. So in some respects, I think Pope Liberius was a mentor to him. In fact, he followed him into exile. And when Liberius died, Damasus was elected Bishop of Rome. But in an interesting twist, a minority elected and consecrated another deacon, a man named Ursinus, as Pope. So this controversy between Damasus and the anti-Pope resulted in many violent battles in the two basilicas and scandalizing the Bishop of Italy, really. And at the synod that Damasus called on the occasion of his birthday, he asked them to approve his actions. But the bishops would not do so. They instead said, "We assembled for a birthday, not to condemn a man unheard."
Wow.
So supporters of the anti-pope even managed to get Damasus accused of a grave crime. They believe it was a crime accusation, sexual in nature, but it was later debunked. And so he had to clear himself before a civil court and church synod. So it was a rocky papacy in many respects. Mm. And, you know, again, we have a man who's legacy continues to live on today. He certainly left his imprint, and again, another personal favorite of mine. The more I dig into his life,
well, and if you like reading your Bible, you can write him a thank you note, because the Council of Rome in 382 AD, he helped establish the biblical canon, shaping how Scripture would be understood for centuries. And also, I believe he commissioned Saint Jerome to create the Latin Vulgate.
That's right.
Which, again, remains a foundational text for the church.
Yeah, quite a bit. I mean, a long papacy, about 19 years, but so much that he accomplished still stands with us today, many, many years ago.
Wow. And he really had a deep respect for the martyrs of the faith and those who went before him. I mean, I think he restored early tombs and created poetic inscriptions, preserving the memory of these heroic Christian witnesses.
Yeah, it's interesting you would say that, Josh, because in the collect prayer for his feast day today, I had noticed this. They could have spoken about any one of a number of things, but in the collect prayer, they specifically reference that, where they say, "Grant, we pray, O Lord," in part, I'll read in part, "that we may constantly exalt the merits of your martyrs, whom Pope Damasus so venerated and loved. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's he had a love for the early church martyrs.
You know, it's interesting too. I remember when I went on a silent retreat to the monastery of the Holy Spirit, talking about the chanting of psalms going one side to the other. I experienced this. So this wonderful saint, he introduced the chanting of psalms with the two sides of the church alternating verses, a custom that monasteries continue to this day, and they do.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. No, it's absolutely cool. Another tradition that he started was chanting an Alleluia before the proclamation of the gospel at Mass as well.
How about that? But we still do that to this day?
We sure do.
So we can thank him for that.
Also, he, you know, as you shared, he really tried to assert and restore this primacy of the papacy, laying the groundwork for the Pope's role as a unifying leader of the global church. Now, I did not know that there was a, there was, people were trying to make a power play for the papal authority back then. Any more you got to share about that? Who was the guy that was challenging him?
Yeah, that was Jursinus, and it was quite a difficult time. I mean, in Damasus, we see a real multitasker, right? Because he's implementing all these changes mm-hmm. that are still present today. He had to fight the fact that his election was not recognized by a certain sect within the church, and he's also fighting the Arian heresy. So this is quite a lot of action packed into these 19 years. And ultimately, he did prevail, as we know. But it speaks to the fact that this has happened in the course of our church. It's not always clean. It can at times be messy. Mm-hmm. But the truth does prevail.
Amen to that. He also had a deep devotion to the early martyrs and fostered the veneration of the relics.
Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we've talked about quite a few of these martyrs during this Advent season. And really, since we've been on the air, mm-hmm. they come up a lot. And they're just a great source of inspiration for so
Amen.
Many.
Amen.
Wow. Well, gosh. He was interesting. Supporters of Ursinus. Is that, I think that was.
Either Ursinus. Ursinus,
yeah. However you pronounce it. Yeah. So they clash in Rome and they lead to riots and bloodshed, right? And the supporters of Ursinus barricaded themselves in the Basilica of St. Mary Major, but were forcibly expelled by Damascus's faction.
Yeah.
And there were, I think there's historical accounts report that some sources claim that as many as 137 people died in this conflict.
Yeah, I mean, it's tragic that blood would be shed mm-hmm. in such a beautiful basilica of Mary Major. But again, it speaks to the trials and tribulations of our church. It's not an easy ride. Mm-hmm. It can be a rocky road at times.
No, and it, like to your point exactly, Chuck, it's not a pristine history. I mean, if you go back to the gospel and the good news itself, it got very messy.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes, I think, when people like to share, how could you be Catholic with all this bad stuff that's happened? I don't know if they could have been any worse than the first 12.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And
one of them got Jesus killed, so.
Yeah.
And we are Catholic because Catholic is truth. And the truth prevails.
Universal.
As it did in the case of St. Damasus and has ever since.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's not a museum for saints. It's a hospital for sinners.
Amen to that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And look at the heroic accomplishments God does through very imperfect people like mm-hmm. all of us here.
Amen. Yep.
St. Damasus the First.
Pray for us.
Finding joy in the journey. This is The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on your Atlanta Catholic Radio. AM 1160, The Quest.
It is 8:40, and I have been saying a novena quite often lately. Mm-hmm. The flying novena, to be exact.
I've heard of that one, yeah.
I have too, and for the longest time, I never knew the memorare, which is the main prayer of the flying novena, but I just wanted to give a little history about it and where it came from.
Yeah, what is it?
So today, we're diving into that beautiful little spiritual gem that people may have heard of, but not everyone knows the story behind the flying novena.
Mm-mm.
So also known as Mother Teresa's Express Novena. It's one of the simplest, most powerful prayer habits of our Catholic tradition, and its origin is as inspiring as a saint who made it famous. And we all love Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
Golly gee.
Yeah, who doesn't?
What a servant, mm-hmm. what a servant of the Lord. So what exactly is the flying novena?
Mm-hmm.
Well, normally we pray a novena. We pray it for a day for 9 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's slow, steady rhythm of prayer. But Mother Teresa, being Mother Teresa, realized that there were times where she and her sisters needed God's help right away.
Can't wait 9 days.
You can't wait. You can't wait. You need it immediately, right?
Uh-huh.
So there wasn't time to wait 9 days. There were emergencies, sudden needs, you know, tight travel deadlines, mm-hmm. moments when somebody's suffering needed immediate grace. So she created a quicker spiritual tool, 9 memorares prayed back to back. Then this is the part people often don't know. And truly, I did not know until I'm looking over this today. I knew okay. it was 10 novenas. The 10th memorare prayed in thanksgiving, trusting that Mary was already interceding. So you do the 9, and then the 10th one is pretty much thanking and praying prayers of thanksgiving that Mother Mary was going to bring the intention to her son, that things were going to be fine.
I never knew that.
I didn't know either. So Mother Teresa said she learned from this form from experience. Mary never left a need unanswered. So the 10th prayer wasn't wishful thinking. It was a confident thank you.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
I'm going to be praying this now.
Well, I know, but you have to memorize the memorare first, right?
I can read it.
You know, you totally can. And you know, it's interesting because the origins with this go back to her mission work in Calcutta. Whenever she faced an impossible situation, no food, no transportation, no medicine, no clear path, she would call her sisters together and say, let's pray a quick novena. And they began the 9 memorares, often in great urgency. Many times before they finished, help showed up. Someone knocked on the door with supplies. A doctor appeared. A donation arrived. A way already opened. So, yeah.
Wow.
So it's just, it's amazing.
Well, this is cool. And you kind of called me out on this because I don't know.
And
I don't have it memorized.
And I didn't have it memorized seriously until recently because I've been saying this. I've been calling on her intercession and praying this novena.
But what I've been doing lately, I'm like, I want to learn this because one of the priests that celebrates Mass here at our chapel.
Yes.
A lot of times in the Mass or right after the Mass, we'll do this memorare.
Yes.
And everybody knows it. And I don't.
So let's say it.
So what I've been doing now is after my rosary, I do this twice, but I think what I'm going to do is do it 10 times, and I'm going to memorize this very quickly.
Well, and you know, first 9, think of something that's going on in your life.
Yeah,
or you need some intercession. Yeah. And that 10th one, always remember you are just thanking Our Lady, you know, because you know that she's already present in the situation.
Absolutely.
So the memorare, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen.
Awesome. Thank you, Allison. That's awesome.
Thank you. And thank you, Mother Mary, for bringing our prayers to our Lord. Amen.
Coming up on The Morning Quest,
Deacon Charlie Kerrigan from Our Lady of La Salette in Canton will be talking to us about the Advent Day of Reflection. All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth. That's this Saturday, December 13th at 9 a.m.
Hi, I'm Father John Ricardo. Join me for Christ is the Answer today at noon. But now, let's return to The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on AM 1160, The Quest.
And it's Dave and Allison, actually. Josh back tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Absolutely. It's 8:48. And I want to mention, too, we got another show, locally produced show, Honest to God.
Mm-hmm.
It's a show for young adults, and it's made by young adults.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. This Saturday at 4 p.m., they've got a conversion story, part 3 of their conversion stories.
Which I love hearing mm-hmm. conversion stories.
They're
just fires up your faith.
They're interesting. This one is a young man named Logan. And from what I understand, this is their words, not mine. It gets pretty heavy toward the end.
So you got to listen.
I don't know what that means, but I want to listen now.
Absolutely. And it's cool, too, because many adults listen to the show as well, kind of hear what's going on in the adult world.
It's kind of like even if you're not in that demographic, you have kids or whatever maybe yeah. that are, and it's kind of like peeking a little peek into their who they are.
Yes, you know? And what's happening.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So check that out, Honest to God, this Saturday at 4 p.m., and it's also available on demand afterwards, and you can also check out their YouTube channel.
And to find On Demand, where do you go, Dave?
AM. Oh, how could I forget our website? TheQuestAtlanta.com. That's where you
or
go.
Or on the app. If you do not have the Quest Atlanta app on your phone, download the app.
Or go to their YouTube channel.
Perfect.
The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison.
We are delighted to have Deacon Charlie Kerrigan here with us. He is from Our Lady of La Salette in Canton, and I am just pumped because I cannot wait to hear about this Advent Day of Reflection that's taking place this Saturday, December 13th. And the title is All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth. So I cannot wait to learn more. Welcome, Deacon.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, my gosh. It is our pleasure. So what inspired this title for a day of reflection?
Yeah, you got to start there.
I mean, the song is in my head, so I'm like, share with us. Share with us, Deacon.
My pastor, Father Mark Starr, had asked if I'd be willing to do a Lenten Day of Reflection, and I said, sure. And he said, well, what's the topic going to be? And I said, something about Advent, obviously. went home that night and began thinking. Woke up at 5 a.m. out of a sound sleep.
Yeah.
To the song.
No way.
All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth. I haven't heard that song in
years. I haven't either. Yeah. That's why I'm like,
I quite frankly don't particularly like it. But as I sat there and I saw all of these inspirations, yeah, I absolutely believe come from the Holy Spirit. So mm-hmm. as I'm sitting there thinking, why would that come to me? And then I began thinking about, there's really a deeper level to just losing two front teeth,
yeah,
that we know are going to where they are,
yes,
that they're going to come in,
yes.
And well, then, and I figured there had to be some deeper meaning. It's not just after some silly song.
Well, it just grew from that they're on a completely different level.
Mm.
It was, I think I can develop something from that.
Yeah,
that talks about where we are in our faith life as our faith, or the mystery of Christmas, the childhood Christmas, grows into adulthood, where we transition from gift receiver,
yeah,
to gift giver.
Mm. Yeah.
So that was what came to me, and then I had to kind of backtrack from there and start filling in the spaces. But it's, wow, interesting how music can touch you in so many different ways.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, even a song like that. But again, divinely, you waking up at 5, hearing that song, and the Holy Spirit just put that on you, and how all this is coming about. And, you know, you're talking about the deeper spiritual message, right, for Advent preparation, just talking about how as we turn into adults, just how things change from the original gift getting to, well, giving.
And it's like the old saying, you know, like a kid at Christmas.
Yes.
You know,
yes. That,
and it changed it. Now it's like an adult at Christmas.
Yes. Yes. Which is priceless.
Mm-hmm.
So, Deacon, what can people expect from this morning of prayer and reflection?
Anytime we have a day of reflection, it is a chance to step back from where we are, to spend a few minutes reflecting on where we've been and where we're going.
Yeah.
And of course, Advent, as we celebrate Advent, it's not just the memory of the historical birth of mm-hmm. Jesus. We are mindful of his second coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's all of those things that then blend of where are we, what's going on in our life. And I think the biggest takeaway that I hope people will receive this day is from another song.
Yes,
we'll fall asleep counting our blessings, just to realize how we have been mm-hmm. blessed in so many ways, and how we are now called to take those blessings,
yeah,
and pass them on to somebody else.
Well, and it's so neat hearing too, because we all have blessings. Things are mm-hmm. happening in our lives, even if there's many trials as well. Just being aware and noticing the different blessings that are happening in our lives, it's important to recognize those.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So Advent, it is a season of hope and renewal. How does your reflection help people reconnect with that sense of spiritual readiness as we approach Christmas?
We'd like to think that we're always prepared.
Mm.
And I think the reality is, again, we get caught up in where we are in our life and then realize I do need that time to stop and reflect,
mm-hmm.
to refocus.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy, again, to be thinking of what do I want for Christmas, beyond two front teeth,
mm-hmm.
Beyond the trinket, beyond that bottle of wine,
mm-hmm.
To begin thinking about the deeper meaning,
mm-hmm.
of our relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. hopefully, again, that we can change our focus to becoming the hands and feet of Christ, to become the no longer the gift receiver, but the gift giver.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And I know this speaks to me. You know, we often get caught up in the busyness of the season, you know, just being a parent, you know, just all the activities. And
well, even if you don't have kids, you can still get caught up.
Even if you don't, there's just so many things going on.
Yeah.
So what practical ways will you be sharing to help the participants slow down and to prepare their hearts for Christ?
Yeah, I want to listen to this. I need this.
I think with anything else, it's just taking the time to stop and to reflect.
Mm-hmm.
So often we go through life, we don't even think of what's going on. I mentioned earlier counting our blessings.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times we just forget how blessed we are.
Mm-hmm.
And then look around us and say, the guy across the street has more than I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we lose sight of the
fact. It's easy to get caught up in that.
Oh, yeah.
We lose sight of the fact that, but look at everything that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And in so many ways, if we take that time just to sit back and become conscious of our health,
mm-hmm.
especially in relationship to people who don't have good health.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Our financial stability, especially for people who are so unstable financially,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
the homeless, the people that are that we help through St. Vincent de Paul.
Yes.
You know, they some people say they come out of the woodwork at Christmas, but I think they're always there.
Yes.
And maybe we see them more, and we're
mm-hmm.
we need to become more sensitive to that. So
yeah.
I'm hoping to that people will walk away with that sense of not only the gifts they've received, but that there are people around us who we are meant to share our gifts with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking back to the gospel on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
The sheep, you know, the night, would you leave?
Yes.
And thinking about, like, if putting yourself in the place of the shepherd, you know, and trying to recognize the people who need something. You know what I mean? Like I kind of derailed this whole conversation,
I know,
didn't
like,
I? Are you following me?
Dave,
it sounded good in my head, but I think when it came out of my mouth, it didn't sound so good. But anyway.
Well, Deacon, what do you personally hope attendees will take away from this event as they continue their Advent journey?
Again, a closer relationship with God, a sense of gratitude for His blessings,
mm-hmm.
and in turn, maybe a new awareness of how they need to help others.
Oh, beautiful. So where can we get more information about this exciting Advent reflection?
Our website, Our Lady of La Salette, which is OLLCanton.com. We're on 2941 Sam Nelson Road in Canton, Georgia. I think that the website has just the small announcement of the
perfect phone. And it starts at 9 o'clock and it goes till noon.
It might end earlier when the Holy Spirit tells me I'm done. I'll be done.
There you go. Thank you so much, Deacon Charlie.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Glory be to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit,
as it Amen. Was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.